Well, guys, let me tell you, start. Well, I was looking at the blanket, didn't see you. I'm glad you're here. But first off, let me say, guys, it's an honor to be back. I feel at home here. I kid you not. I love being up here. My Tahoe and my truck knows exactly how to get here now. If I could just get it to drive for me, I'd be in good shape. But I've been praying since this is where we get to the meat of the Word of God. Last 2 weeks ago, we kind of sowed the seed. For the next few nights, we're going to put some good foundation into this seed. In other words, we won't expect a harvest. I want to first say it's good to have Pastor Tommy and Sister Nicole and their children with us from Rock United. This is one of my spiritual sons. I love him. I get excited when I see what God is doing in their lives. And I thank God for them being here. And then, of course, Elder Mike and Sister CJ. That's besides my wife and the children, that's my rock. And thank God for them being here. But I want you, if you will, tonight to turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. How many of you can honestly say, when I say this word, I want you to think what pops to your mind first. Just think it, don't say it. If I say the word holiness, what pops in your heart? I think sometimes we have a wrong perception of what holiness truthfully is. I think so many times we think that holiness is shouting, getting excited, going up one day down the other. But to be holy, to walk in holiness, you have to live a holy life. Not a life full of holes, but a holy life. And for the next few nights, I'm going to try. He said he threw his notes away. I'm going to try to stick to mine, because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble, because this is exactly what he'll throw them away next Sunday. But I've got to stay on topic unless God changes his mind. If he changes mind, you see me close the book, you know it's on like Donkey Kong. Okay, so let's just dive. I want you to think about this. How many of you know that God calls us to holiness?
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. He is holy. But what does holiness supposed to look like in a child of God? Now, when I say this, when God was giving me this week, I began looking at myself. First off, before I examine my sister, I need to examine myself.
Amen.
Come on
That's
now.
Right. Amen. That's right.
That's why I've always said, when you take communion, you don't take it lightly, man. You taking the body of Jesus, you taking the blood of Jesus. It's not something that I do it myself. I do it myself every day. I do it because you might say, well, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, you're an evangelist, whatever. I'm human.
Amen.
And how many of you know, as long as I'm human, I'm going to sin. Maybe not willfully. Come on now, somebody. But I'm going to sin. Now catch this. What is the definition, as you've turned to Romans chapter 12, of the word holiness or holy? Here it is. The Hebrew word for holy, I hope you brought your notebooks and your pens. The Hebrew word for holy is kodesh, Q-O-D-E-S-H. And it means apartness. It means separateness, set apart, sacredness, completely set apart. To do God and His will for our lives. You need to write this down. I got excited when I got this. A part-time Christian is no threat to a full-time devil. Oh, come on now. Don't shut me down because I'm preaching good. A part-time, y'all know part-time Christians, don't you?
Yeah.
I hope you don't have any in the church here, but we have some at home. They're part-time. And then they want God to show up full-time.
Yes, amen.
That's not going to happen.
That's right.
You can't be a part-time Christian. And one of the other things I like to say, you can't be a part-time Christian to get full-time benefits.
Yes, amen.
How many of you work a part-time job and get full-time benefits? No, well, few. Well, you the owner, so they know. But the thing is simply this. But you work part-time, but you don't get the benefits. See, if people want God to move in their lives, I have to ask this question, as I've said it many a times in other places. When's the last time you moved for God?
Yes, amen.
Come on now. You think about this. Let's read Romans chapter number 12, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Rome, and he says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed. Conformed means to go along with this world. But be transformed. In other words, make a dramatic change. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now think about that. Despite the ever-changing culture, like someone will teach of our world, God's standards have not changed.
Yes, amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Am I talking to anybody in here? How many of you know God's standards have never changed?
Yes.
He said in the Word of God, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not.
Amen.
His standards don't change. What was sin back in 1940 is still sin today in 2018.
Yes. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
The things that God looked down on and looked at sin back in the Garden of Eden, glory to God, still stands true today.
Oh, yeah.
Men are selfish. Men want things their way. Come on now. Let's think about this. I've always said this. If a person hops from church to church to church, they're never going to be satisfied.
That's right.
Come on. I would say it a different way. I've got to keep it PG. But the thing is simply this. If people are bouncing from church to church to church, you think eventually they find a place to get rooted.
Amen.
Am I talking to anybody up here?
Yeah.
Glory to God. They get rooted somewhere, but you know what they want, brother? They want a pastor. They'll pacify.
Yes. Yes.
Make them feel good when they walk into church.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I pray I don't make you feel good. I pray that while I'm here, I challenge you.
Yes, amen.
If I'm making you feel good, I'm not making God look good. Oh,
that's
hallelujah.
Right.
I felt amen. That one. Lord Jesus. But think about it. He said right here, God's standards have not changed, nor have they become outdated or old school. Come on. It's amazing how we look at God in the church and we think it's old school.
That's right.
Old school don't work no more.
Yeah.
Well, some things in old school are not bad.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on now. Back in old school, you came to church with your lunch. And you left before the sun set.
That's right.
Now you don't even, you now, not y'all, this church down the road. Now you don't worry about that. You're like, the preacher better get done by 12 because I don't have my beans cooking, but I just got to throw it out. I don't know too many places down here. But they serve liver mush and cheese and coleslaw sandwiches over at that place. Where was it?
Lowry's.
Yeah. I'm advertising. Okay, advertising. And you know, they loved me so much and they loved Philip so much, they kept the place open for me so I could eat last Friday night. And I had a liver mush, coleslaw, old cheese liver mush sandwich. And I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't bad. I'll eat it again. Glory to God. But think about it. Believe it or not, we today, as the body of Christ, live in a hyper grace movement. Write that down. You might say, what does that mean? Glad you asked. We live in a movement today that says everything is okay, that because of the grace of God, we don't need to worry about standards.
That's right. That's
but
right.
That's simply not true.
That's right.
No standards. How about preaching to anybody?
Yeah. Amen.
We don't have standards no more.
Yeah.
Then that means we're not walking in holiness.
That's right.
He told us to do that perfect will of God. And he even said it so much. He said, that's your reasonable service.
Yeah.
If dying for Jesus is the most that he could do for us, living for him is the least we could.
Yes.
Glory to God. Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. Now catch this. We don't have to worry about standards. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, which is sin, but in holiness.
That's right.
Therefore, he who rejects holiness does not reject man, but he rejects God.
That's right.
Which has also given us his Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. As I told my church this morning, there is no one more thankful for grace than me.
Yes.
Have I got anybody in this house can say that?
Amen.
Man, I thank God for grace.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Grace has brought me a mighty long way.
Yeah.
See,
yes.
The thing is simply this. I am who I am today. Pastor Tommy's who he is today. Pastor Phillips, who he is today, by the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
See, if you'd have known us back then.
Yeah, go ahead, amen.
You may not love us now.
That's right.
And don't get me wrong, if I knew you back then, I'd still love.
Some wouldn't, but I would.
Hallelujah.
Think about this. It's only by the grace of God that I went from a boy living in the projects. And yes, I lived in the projects. You know, I'm going to say it this way. If the church, it wouldn't hurt them to go back to the projects.
Amen. Go ahead. Yes.
Because people in the projects had you back.
Yep. Amen.
People in the projects would cover for you.
That's right.
See, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. We couldn't afford one. Mom and daddy got plastic. But the thing is simply this. It wouldn't hurt us to go back to where we came from. And remember just how dependent on God we was back then. See, the thing is simply this. A lot of people are not dependent upon God until they need something.
That's right.
Well, can I tell you something today? Jesus is not a pharmacist.
That's right.
Glory to God. You can't call. He's not a doctor. You can't call on Him when you need Him, expecting to be there.
That's right.
God's going to be there for people that's there for Him.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, come on.
Amen.
I was from the projects to a pastor of City of Refuge Christian Center, as an ordained minister, a master's in theology, a doctorate in theology. This happened in my life because of the grace of God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Come on now. Some of you in this house this evening, only by the grace of God you're here today because that car should have hit you.
Yes.
Glory to God, you should have died. Glory to God, of a drug overdose.
Yes,
you should have died because of alcohol poisoning. But by the grace of God,
yes, thank you, Lord,
you're here today.
Amen.
Come on, everybody can chase one back.
That's right.
You should have died. They should have shamed you.
Yeah.
But the grace of God.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Satan may have a hit on you, but if you're covered by the grace of God, can't touch this.
Yes.
You know why? Because if you're a child of God, I read in the book of Job where he said, he looked at Satan. Can I tell you something? God and Satan talk a lot, whether you want to admit it or not. Think about it. Satan comes up to God. God looks at Satan. And he says, Satan, what you doing? He already knew. He said, I'm walking to and fro, up and down, seeking whom I may devour. And then God had so much faith in Job. He looked at him. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Catch the key word there. I'm teaching. He said, servant.
Yeah.
He didn't say, my prophet. He didn't say that high and mighty person living up on the
That's
hill.
Right.
He said, have you considered my servant?
Yes, thank you.
See, isn't it amazing that Job was a servant? He was used mightily for God. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a servant to us, and He died for us.
Yes, thank you.
And He said, listen to me. He said, I can't touch you because you got a hedge built about it.
Yes, thank
you. If you're a child of God and you sold out to God, you got a hedge about
yes,
you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Think about it. He said that he who abides under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes.
He told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And then he says, I got a hedge about you. If your foot's on the rock, he's got a hedge about you, and you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, how can Satan touch you?
Amen. That's right.
Think about it. See, so many times we call God Satan. I'm helping you. If you're being tested tonight and you're a sold-out, blood-bought child of God, you're being tested by God.
Yes.
See, Satan is so dumb. Yeah, I said it. Satan is so dumb, he don't realize that God uses him to promote us.
Amen. That's right.
I wish I had some help up here.
That's right.
Think about it. He is so dumb. When you get to heaven and you see just what he was.
That's right. Amen.
You're going to sit there, maybe, and say, that's what fought me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Satan comes in many forms.
Yes.
He comes in whatever you battle.
Yes. Amen.
If you battle temptation, he'll come in the form of a woman or man.
Yeah.
If you battle an addiction, come on, you can help me on this. He'll come in the form of an alcoholic beverage or a whiskey or liquor. He'll come in those forms.
Yep, go ahead.
Am I helping you?
Amen.
He don't have a pitchfork. He don't have horns. And he don't wear a cape.
Yep, amen.
Satan is what you battle.
Yes.
Am I helping you tonight?
Amen.
Whatever you're battling right now, fleshly,
yes.
That's Satan.
Yeah.
So catch it. I know I got to go. Thank God I got three more nights tentatively. But catch this. It's only by the grace of God you have come from where you've come from.
Yes.
I got to say this tonight. You might want to take this one home. I think many of us would be able to minister to others more effectively if we remembered who we were and where we were before Jesus saved us.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Huh. You ain't always been holy.
Amen.
That's right.
Some of you just barely saved. If you don't believe me, let's see them get angry one time.
Yes.
Let me see how you act in the heat of the battle. I'd cuss them out. Better not bother me. I ain't so saved that I won't have any. How many times have you ever heard this crazy thing? I'm going to lay down my salvation, go whoop their tail, and pick it up.
Yeah.
No, you're going to go to sinning, and you're willfully doing it, and then you go try to ask God for repentance.
That's right.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something. There's some people, I love everybody. But there's very few I want to go on vacation with. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in this house knows. If so-and-so went on vacation with me, I don't think I'd go. Come on. You got family like that. Just want to make sure y'all guys are on still at the same church I was a week ago. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. There's some people, only by the grace of God, you don't mash their mouth.
Amen. Yes.
Next time you want to pop somebody in the mouth, go, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." I didn't work. Give me the fourth verse. Hallelujah. That one just ain't cutting it. I got to go four, baby. Think about it. It's only by the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
Think about this. But by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now catch this. I'm going to mess you up. The grace of God is not a get out of jail free card.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'm teaching to you tonight. A lot of us think that we can go out and live like hell.
Yeah.
And then we can repent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says if I willfully sin,
yeah, that's right,
there's no more remission of that sin.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm going to say something tonight. I said it at my church this morning. And Elder Joe, this is true. There's going to be some people barely make it to heaven.
That's right.
Because they're going to be weighing the balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Catch it. Now let me mess you up also. There's some of us that don't get many robes and crowns.
Yeah.
That grandma that sat there at your bedside and prayed over you when you were sick,
yes,
that lived that life, I guarantee you, everybody in this house has got a grandma that was that way. My grandma told me many a time when she was living, she said, "Everybody's welcomed at my table." What happened to that in the church today?
Yes, amen. Go ahead.
Come on.
Are we a place for saints?
Yeah.
Or are we a spiritual hospital for the sinner?
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
The problem is we can't pick and choose who would come.
Amen.
That's right.
He didn't.
That's right.
He said, "Whoever will come."
Yes.
You want this church to grow? Open the doors and don't look at what they look like when they come in.
Yes,
just thank God they showed up. They're going to give their hearts to God and they're going to walk out ready to work. Give me. I told our church, I'm going to mess y'all up. I told our church, I said, give me the alcoholic.
Amen.
Give me the prostitute.
Yes.
Give me the drug addict.
Yeah.
Give me that mama that's 14 years old raising a baby by herself.
Yep, go ahead.
Mom and daddy done kicked them out. Uh-huh. Two wrongs don't make a right.
That's right.
Jesus said he come. He said the well have no need of physician.
That's right.
But those that are sick.
That's right.
Amen.
There was a young lady, I was told today, one of my church members, come up to me. She said, "Pastor," said, "I want you to pray for my friend." She said she was going to a church. Please listen, because this will teach you something. See, she was going to a church and she told the pastor she was HIV positive. Mm-hmm. And the pastor told her to keep her mouth shut and don't tell nobody.
Wow.
Said, "If you tell anybody, we're going to kick you out of this church." Mm-hmm. You know what? They didn't have to worry about kicking her out. She left.
Yeah.
And I told June this, tell her to come to the church. church.
Yes, amen.
She told her to come to the church. She just kind of looked at me and said, what a testimony.
Yes.
She got saved.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
She's bought by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And she can be a great testimony about the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
Think about
it.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you've been through a mess, He's giving you a message. Hallelujah. Think about this.
That's right.
But the grace of God is not a get out of jail free card. Grace does not give us a free pass to ignore God's guidelines and standards set for us as followers of Christ. I hope you come stay with me. I'm teaching you. It does, however, cover our mistakes as followers when we all fall miserably short of them despite our best efforts.
Yeah.
Amen. Here we go. Despite people's opinions, the Bible is not just a really old book of rules. Oh, come on. How many times you ever heard this? And we don't have to abide by the Old Testament. We just abide by the New now. I don't think God wasted space in the book for us not to go by it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Only thing I told my church this morning, I'll tell y'all. Thank God Jesus sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, and His blood has saved us. If not, y'all wouldn't have a cow to go home to today. Glory to God, because you'd have already sacrificed everything up on the hill.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Think about it. It's the Word of God. It is the inspired, infallible Word of God. It's full of story after story from generation to generation of jacked up, messed up people.
Yes.
And a patient, redemptive love and grace of a perfect God.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on. You show me somebody messed up in the Bible, and I'll show you somebody God used mightily.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Show me. Noah was a drunk. He built an ark.
Yeah, amen.
David was an adulterer. A murderer.
Yeah.
But yet he was the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
No matter how much he failed. And you know what that means, Elder Joe? I was praying about it. We are all the apple of God's eye.
Yes, okay? Amen.
God knew David's imperfections. Am I helping you this evening?
Yes,
he knew his imperfections, but still, God had a plan and purpose for it.
Yes.
And if it wouldn't been for a true friend named Jonathan, he would have never been king of Israel. Glory to God. Jonathan loved him so much, Pastor Philip, that he said, listen, you take my birthright.
Yeah.
And you think about that. David was going to be king. His daddy lined him up perfectly. But Jonathan loved him so much, he said, I feel like I need to pass this to you. Amen. If you chase Jesus' genealogy, you'll find Rahab the harlot.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, I'm helping you tonight.
All right.
See, Jesus didn't come from all clean people.
That's right.
Glory to God. And we all know somebody in our family that missed the mark. Come on now.
Yes.
Think about it. Think about it. The Bible gives us rules. Am I helping you?
Sure.
I want y'all to understand, if you don't hear nothing else, this revival, the continuation of this revival, we have rules to follow as children of God.
That's right.
Yes.
You can't run with God and hold hands with Satan.
Yes.
Glory to God. He gives us guidelines. He gives us standards to live by. But He also wants us to look at the lessons, struggles, and lives of others attempting to live by God's standards. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, you can write these down. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. You know what? We do need to have doctrines in the church whether they want to believe it or not. We for reproof, which is reprimand, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Verse number 17 says this, that the man of God, which is you and I, may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Catch this, church. Thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes, amen.
Come on now. It makes no sense to go into battle not equipped. How many of you know tonight we're in spiritual warfare?
Yes. Amen.
We don't wrestle flesh and blood. We wrestle principalities of darkness.
Yes, that's
spiritual
right.
Wickedness in high places.
That's right.
If we ever get out of the mindset, sister, that person that's coming against us, it isn't them, it's the enemy.
Yeah.
How much better off can we serve God?
Yes. Amen.
that person you can't stand, it's not them. It's their enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, we all have in-laws and outlaws that we know they're being used by the enemy. It's like I told somebody one time, you know the difference between in-laws and outlaws? Outlaws are wanted. In-laws come with a territory. Glory to God. Think about it. The Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. It's inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true. What may make us realize what is wrong.
That's right.
I'm going to mess you up here in a second. In our lives, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Now listen to me. So you may ask yourself, I told you I'll stick on my notes tonight because, man, this is over 42 hours of study. So catch this. You may ask yourself, what is God's standards for us concerning walking in holiness? Can I ask you a question? Do you honestly know what you stand for? When somebody asks me, I asked this person one time. They asked me, they said, I go to the Baptist church. And I'm not kicking it, I'm trying to share something. And I said, why are you Baptist? You know what the answer was? Mama was Baptist. Well, why was your mama Baptist? Because my grandma was Baptist. And then you keep going, I asked her 15 questions. And then I said, well, what does the Baptist believe? She said, I don't know. I said, then why are you going to that church?
That's right.
I mean, you've got to know your product.
That's right.
You've got to be able to tell people, this is why I believe what I believe.
Amen.
And the thing is, if you believe something and I believe something totally different, let's not fight about it.
Amen.
Let's just admit you see it one way and I see another, and let's just move on.
Yes,
you know how
amen.
Churches got started? About five, why denomination got started? About five men at Azula Street got upset at each other and started their own denomination. He didn't say I had to be denomination. He said I had to be born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told y'all before, John was a Baptist. I'm a Cass Stevens. And the reason John was a Baptist is because John baptized.
That's right.
Just thought I'd throw that one out, free plug. Let's catch this. Write this down. You cannot live according to God's Word simply if you don't know God's Word.
That's right.
Oh, I'm helping you here. Think about this. We must learn from, read, and study God's Word daily. Because you cannot live and abide in something that you don't know. I'm helping you. Hosea 4:6 said it this way. My people. He didn't say the world's, brother. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Help me here. I'm not going to ask you how much time you spend in the Word of God a week. Because, sad to say, most people, most Christians spend an average of 15 minutes every 2 weeks in the Word of God. 15 minutes. And that's a half of us when you're preaching. I mean, come on now. Half of us when the everybody turn up. If you got three services, you at least got 5 minutes.
That whole 15 minutes is in a Sunday morning service.
Yeah, see, think about it.
Y'all spent an hour and 15 minutes a couple weeks ago. Just like
that. Yeah. But think about this.
That's true.
We don't open this. And we wonder why Satan so easily defeats us.
That's right. Amen.
If I'm going through something, brother, and I know you and Elder Joe know the Word of God. If I'm going through a situation in my life, I don't need to go to Dr. Phil. I need to get the Word of God.
Yes,
and says,
amen.
What does the Word of God say about this situation?
That's right. Amen.
I'll give you one. I had a person come up to me in the church and she's battling depression. She said, Pastor, I'm battling depression. I said, well, you'll give me about 20 minutes. I'll give you 22 verses on how to defeat it.
Yes.
And I sent it to her. Now, whether she used it, it's like I went to the doctor. If you're sick and need an antibiotic, that antibiotic can sit in your refrigerator for months. But if you don't use it, you ain't going to get no better. And I told her. I gave her 22 scriptures. And I should have said, call me in the morning. But the thing was simply this. I gave her 22 scriptures. And she didn't apply it. Elder, deacons, pastors, evangelists can give you scripture all day long, but it's no good if you keep it on the table and you don't apply it.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm battling suicide. I got a spirit of suicide on me. Well, let's talk some scripture that overcomes suicide.
Yes.
See, everything I know, Everything we battle, God's got an antidote in His Word.
Yes, amen.
Oh, come on, church. Everything you're going through, He done got the cure for it in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Think about it. If we would trust God as much as we do flesh, we have a sight problem. Helen Keller was once said this, church. Somebody asked her, and you know I'm getting ready to say it. Someone asked her, said, "What's worse than being blind?" She said, "Having sight with no vision." Come on. You know what? We would trust God more if we was blind.
Yeah, you're right.
Think about it. We would trust God more if we was blind. Think about it. God has given me, and I'm going to use these this week, four things we can do to challenge ourselves to live according to God's Word and live in holiness. Are you ready? Number one, I'm going to go through this one tonight. Won't take long. We must make a commitment to God's standards. Come on. Psalm 119:9 says this. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed, which means paying attention according to your word. He's talking about the word of God. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By applying the word of God. Think about this. If you want to stay pure and live by the standards that God has laid out for us, we need to live. We have got to live according to the word of God. Do you want your church to grow? I sure do. I'll be honest with you. I brag about this church down home. If you want this church to grow, build it on the Word. If the Word says it, elder, we're going to abide by it. But pastor, if the Word don't abide by it, we ain't going to do it up in here.
Yes, amen.
Because the Bible said God's not the author of confusion, but the God of peace.
Yes.
If it don't abide in the Word of God, how many times have you ever, I'm going to say this, brought a knife to a gunfight? How did that work? Well, some people might win. But I guarantee you, my bullet going to hit you quicker than your knife going to hit me. But see, the thing is, elder, it's simply this. People don't know the Word of God. When we hear people say, there's a great falling away of the faith in the last days, that should let us know that there's a harvest out there that we need to bring back in. Glory to God in these last days. If it don't, I feel this in my spirit. This is for this church. If the Word of God don't say it, we don't believe it.
Yeah, amen.
Man's opinions, y'all know what they're like, and they stink. You need to get rid of man. I don't care what man says, Elder Joe. I don't care what man says, Deacon. I want to know what the Word of God says. Because if it's the Word of God, it's the right Word.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm helping. It's the only word. I'm going to help mess you up in a second. I told you. We need to know the Word of God and be obedient to the entire Word of God.
Yes, amen.
I put entire in big, bold letters in my notes. Not just the parts of the Bible that we enjoy reading to make ourselves feel better about ourselves.
That's right.
Oh, I'm getting ready to go sin. I'm getting ready to do something that ain't of God. But His Word says He would forgive me. Now, that's willfully sinning.
That's right. That's right.
If you know that, if you have to question it, if it's what God wants you to do, it's a pretty good indication it's not.
Yep.
Before I do it, I should go to the Word of God and make sure it lines up with the Word of God.
Yes. Right.
Come on, church, I'm teaching you tonight. Because the thing is, I've always said this. It's good to have the what would Jesus do wristbands, but then you turn it around and say, that ain't what would Jesus do. That's a DJMM. See, the thing is, we can't pick and choose when we want to serve God.
That's right.
Amen. We can't pick and choose when we want to abide by the Word of God.
That's right.
So catch this. We need to know the entire Word of God. Knowing the Word of God not only helps keep us pure. Let me say this again. Knowing the Word of God not only helps us to stay pure by being obedient, but it also gives us the wisdom to be able to better discern the voice of God. And I'm going to you write this down. Because the voice of God will never contradict the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God.
That's right.
If you
have to justify it, it's wrong.
That's right.
The Bible tells us, does it not, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves?
That's right. You're right.
Think about what I'm saying. I'm helping you tonight. If you have a shadow of a doubt that what you're getting ready to do is against God's word, leave it alone.
Yes, amen.
Leave it alone. Because the voice of God, you might, that's going to be good. You take it to somebody at work tomorrow. The voice of God will never contradict the word of God. Just for the record, if you feel like God spoke something to you and it contradicts what the Bible says, you've heard incorrectly. Yeah. No matter how right something feels, our feelings do not trump the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
We walk by faith, not by sight. And you know what he means there? We don't walk by feelings.
That's right.
Oh, somebody hurt my feelings in church. I'm just going to quit. Why? Is that person bigger than your God?
That's right. Go ahead. Amen.
Uh-huh. Well, I ain't going to that church. No, the pastor didn't speak to me. You didn't see that the pastor was counseling somebody that was contemplating suicide.
That's right.
You can't go to church on feelings. You go to hell on feelings.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
But you don't need to go to her church on feelings.
Amen.
Because that's the problem. I'm almost done. But if we carry, and she's going to get out of here before the light goes dark. But the thing is this. If I walk around with my feelings on my shoulders, I'm waiting on somebody to knock them off.
Yes, that's right.
And the thing is, if you're not careful, you'll throw a shoulder in so they can.
That's right.
Hit it. Or you'll make them hit it. You need to do something about that look on your face. Yeah. And they're like, don't you worry about my face. Hit it! Hit it. Isn't that sad?
That's true.
That kids are more mature in church than adults are?
Amen. You're right. Amen.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you, I learned so much from my children. When they're playing in the sandbox, they don't care what color skin of the kid is that's playing in with them.
Amen.
When did we ever get, I'm going to say this, boy, you'll probably get some comments on this when you put it online. But when did we become a black church and a white church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Sunday morning.
You know how we become a black church and a white church? We allow Satan to show us prejudice.
Yes. Amen.
Y'all going to be really messed up when you get to heaven and realize Jesus was a Middle Eastern man. He wasn't albino.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
He's
dark skinned. Hey, y'all, some people, we're going to get to heaven and say, that's why I gave you that purple suit. Glory to God. Let these people know that you're a little bit different, bro. Think about it. We don't have to be like the world, but we can show the world there's something different in our church.
Yes, amen.
When he was picking on me a while ago, when I brought this up here, because I believe in your vision. I brought this up here because we got a kid down in Wilkes County. They got one can of food in their house. And that family needs help. They weren't going to tell nobody, but they told the wrong person.
Yes, amen.
So come tomorrow, there's going to be cupboards full in that house.
Amen.
They won't have to worry about splitting one can of ravioli
amongst
five kids.
Go ahead, amen.
You find the need and feel it. You find the hurt and heal it.
Yes.
And the thing is simply this. We're not doing it in City of Refuge Christian Center's name. We're doing it in His name.
Yes.
Because His name said I was supposed to feed the homeless.
That's right.
I was supposed to be His hands, His feet, and His mouthpiece.
Amen.
So I ask you this question tonight. What's the gospel according to you? When people look at your life, can they look at your life and say, now they're following God?
Go ahead.
Or do we just follow God when we're around the religious crowd?
You're right. Go ahead.
Everybody a Christian on Sunday.
That's right.
Well, let's wait till that alarm clock goes off about 5 o'clock in the morning. You're rebuking Satan because you got to get up and go to work. And then you need to realize there's somebody who wish they was going to work.
That's right. Amen.
To provide for their family.
Yeah, that's right.
There's somebody who wishes they had a job.
Yeah.
Think about it. I'm going to share something with y'all. It's kind of funny. I read it last night. I thought it was good. The Christmas tree that is going in the blue room of the White House is coming from Avery County. Now listen, a Christmas tree. Don't be known in Avery County as a Christmas tree farming community. Be known in Avery County as a county that serves God.
Yes, amen.
As a county that goes the extra mile.
That's right.
And they look at that person on the street. I shared this with you. They look at everybody through the eyes of God.
That's right. Yes, amen.
I said this one time, and I'm closing with this thought. Come on up, brother. I'm closing with this thought. I can tell you how much I love you. But faith without works is dead.
That's right.
Being alone. I can tell you, I'm going to share this story and I'm done. There was this man, and this is a good one. I wouldn't share it if I didn't feel it. There was this man. He was sitting on a street corner. And this man didn't have nothing to eat. He was sitting on that street corner, and this older lady walks up to him and says, "Here." It was cold. She says, "Here's my coat. I got a blanket. I'm going to give it to you." And she said, "Remember John 3:16. About 20 minutes later, another woman walked by and gave him shoes. And said, "We want you to know we love you. And remember John 3:16. Now remember, he'd already been clothed. This other lady walks up to him 30 minutes later, hands him a bunch of food, and says, "Remember John 3:16. About this time, another homeless person walked up to him and said, "Hey man, where did you get those clothes? Where did you get that blanket? Where did you get those shoes? Where did you get that food?" He said, "All I know is because of John 3:16, I am now clothed. Because of John 3:16, I now have a blanket. Because of John 3:16, I now have shoes on my feet. And because of John 3:16, I now have food to eat." He said, "I don't know what John 3:16 is, but I'm going to tell you something. It lets me know that somebody loves me."
Yes, amen.
"For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And we need to go to verse 17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved."
That's right.
He didn't call us to condemn. He called us to love. You have people in your life tonight, as we get ready to give an altar call, that you need to stop condemning.
Yeah. Amen.
Because that same person that you're holding an alt against,
amen,
may be the same person that's going to touch you in the midst of a situation in your life.
Yes.
This morning, this evening, like I said this morning, this evening, as everyone stands, did you get anything out of the first part?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember, number one is this. And remember to take it home with you. We must make a commitment to God's standards. And tomorrow night we'll continue. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I'm going to ask the deacons and the elder of our church, Elder Mike, to come up here and stand with me. Pastor Tom, if you will, come and stand up with me. You give honor where honor is due. This evening, as every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I want you to search your heart. Nobody knows how you live but you. I'm not going to go home with you. Somebody better be glad. Because I still like to eat. But the thing is simply this. I'm not going to go home with you. But He is. So tonight I'm asking you to search your heart. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you're here this evening, and you can be honest, I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to try to make you look bad. But I'm just going to say this. If you're here tonight, and you can honestly say you're not where you need to be with God tonight, I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not, God bless those hands. I'm not where I need to be with God. Be real in the grill. I'm not where I need to be with God tonight. I'll ask this question tonight because I feel the Holy Spirit directing me. Is there anyone else in this house who would say, hey, Pastor Jonathan, I got a thorn in my flesh that is deep, man. That is deep. And I need God's help in this situation. God bless that hand. Anyone else say, hey, God bless those hands that are going up tonight. God bless those hands. I'm going to ask you tonight. I'm going to move this, guys, right here. It's okay. Because I got a feeling this altar is getting ready to be filled. If you're here tonight and you are saying within yourself, I'm not where I need to be with God. As Pastor Phillips sings a verse in the chorus of a song, if you can honestly say, hey, man, I'm not where I need to be, I'm going to ask you to come this way. I'm going to ask you to come this way. There's a song that we used to sing in the church, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. I'm going to ask you to come as he sings. Don't let Satan destroy you one more night.
That's right.
Everybody pray.